Amen. Check this out. One day, this young minister, he was interviewing for his very first pastorate. Now, no, it's not Bobby. Okay, and that you'll understand why in just a second, right? But and so the pulpit committee, they invite him to come over to the church office for the interview, right? And so the committee chairman of the church, he said, "Hey, son, young man, do you know the Bible pretty good?" And the young minister, he said, "Well, absolutely, real good." And so the chairman asked, "All right, which part of the Bible do you know best?" And he responded by saying, "Oh, I know the New Testament the best." So the chairman of the church, the pulpit committee, he says, "Well, which part of the New Testament do you know the best?" And the young minister said, oh, several parts. And so the chairman, he said, "Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and tell us the story of the prodigal son?" And the young man says, sure, no problem. And he starts in. He said, "Well, first of all, there was this a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went down to Jericho by night. And he fell upon the stony ground, and the thorns choked him half to death. And the next morning, Solomon and his wife Gomorrah came by and carried him down to the ark for Moses to take care of. But as he was going through the eastern gate in the ark, he caught his hair on a limb, and he hung there for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards he did hunger, and the ravens came and fed him. The next day, three wise men came and carried him down to the boat dock, and he caught a ship to Nineveh. And when he got there, he found Delilah sitting on a wall, and he said, 'Chuck her down, boys, chuck her down.' And they said, 'Well, how many times should we chuck her down? 7 times 7? He says, 'Nay, 70 times 7. And they chucked her down 490 times. Then she burst asunder right there in their midst. And they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. And in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be?" This is the chairman of the church, the pulpit committee. He stands up, he interrupts this young guy, and he says to the rest of the committee, "Come, boys, come on. Let's hire him. He may be young, but he knows his Bible really good." Now, that joke would be funny if what? Unfortunately, it weren't so true. How many churches you know like that, right? They themselves not only don't know the Bible, okay, and it's just as messed up, but then they go off and hire so-called shepherds that don't know it either, right? And if you're visiting here today or you're watching online or whatever, if you think that your church isn't guilty of that, then you need to tell me why your so-called shepherd refuses to teach on nearly one-third of the Bible called Bible prophecy. He might as well be up there every single Sunday going, "Chuck her down, boys, chuck her down." It's crazy. And the reason why, folks, it doesn't just make for a horrible shepherd and hurts the church, it hurts the lost. Because the lost never hear about the worst time that is coming to this planet very soon, folks, called the 7-year tribulation. Okay, this is not a game. The Bible says that is an outpouring of God's wrath on this wicked and rebellious planet. Jesus said, Matthew 24, it is the worst time in the history of mankind. So horrible that unless God kept it to just those 7 years, i.e. shorten the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. How many people do you know need to hear that message? But if you never teach on it, you never preach on it, we act like this is the only life there is, okay? But praise God, we've been seeing God's not just a God of wrath. He's a what? He's a God of love as well. And so how does he demonstrate that? He's been telling us for 2,000 plus years, man, about this event. How much of a heads up warning do you need? Because he loves us. Because as his people, he doesn't want us to get distracted from the task at hand. We're still here because God wants other people saved. Did you turn to somebody and say, "God wants somebody saved besides you"? No, it's a revelation, is it not? Okay, it's called the Great Commission, not the Grand Suggestion, right? Okay, but if you're not saved, he's trying to get your attention so you get saved before it's too late, okay? But that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. As you can see there, we've already seen that first sign was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. And then if you've been tracking with us the last four times was the second sign, modern technology and the AI invasion. And so far in our study, we saw the first two future prophecies concerning what the Bible talks about, concerning modern technology. And yes, believe it or not, we'll get to it, artificial intelligence as signs you're living in the last days. Now, we already saw that first sign was the increase of travel. Remember that? Book of Daniel, chapter 12. We saw that in many different ways for 3 weeks in a row there. Then last time, if you were here, we saw the second one was the increase of communication. And what we saw there was the unbelievable truth that the Tower of Babel incident is literally being reversed today with modern technology. Just like back then, the whole world is coming together in one common language, okay, one common form of speech, and they're uniting against God, as Revelation 13 says they will again, into a one world government and a one world religion. And guess who's at the forefront? Rhymes with the Pope. Who said that? That's right. It's the Pope, as we clearly saw last time. Now, we saw they're doing that in a couple different ways with technology. They're connecting all people with modern communication technology, and they're connecting all languages with modern technology. Were you here? Weren't you guys blown away by that Google Pixel? He was speaking English. It automatically, in real time, communicated it into Swedish, and then she heard it, communicated back in Swedish, and then he heard it back in language, all in real time. For the first time in mankind's history, since the Tower of Babel, even the language barrier is coming down. Just in time, unfortunately, for the last day's rebellion, the Bible talks about in the seven-year tribulation. So I'm still preaching on this, so guess what? Praise God. I was wondering who was going to fill in for Bobby because he was always so faithful to say, there's got to be more, right? And there is more. Thank you, John. I guess that's up to you now. We've delegated that to you. The third way that modern technology reveals that we're living in the last days is an increase of distribution. And again, this is something that we take for granted, folks, but this has to come on the scene, on the global scene in the last days, if we're going to see several things that take place in Revelation chapter 11 concerning the death of the two witnesses, okay? But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 11. What's going on, okay, in the seven-year tribulation with the death of these two guys called the two witnesses, and what's that got to do with modern technology and a global distribution network? But let's take a look at that, Revelation chapter 11. We're, of course, going to read verses 3 through 9. And let's take a look at what God says as we stand and read God's holy word. But here it is, verse 3. And he says this, and I will give power to my two what? Witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. Now, listen to this. If anyone tries to harm them, keyword they try, they're going to lose. Fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. Listen to this. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. It's an imperative there. Means you even mess with these guys, there's no question about it. There's no going around and collecting $200, right? You're going to die. Serious power that these guys have during that time. You must die. These men also have the power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And they have power to turn the waters into blood and strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Think about that. These guys, anybody messes with them, you're dead. What's that? You bugging me again? Plague. What's that? What, 5 minutes later? Oh, here's another plague. You still met plague. As often as they want. Wow. And the whole world can't stand these guys. And here's what happens, right? Now, when they finish their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower and kill them. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Where's this? This is going down in Jerusalem, right? Where Jesus was crucified. Then it says there, verse 9, for what? 3.5 days. Now that's the key element here. The first one. For 3.5 days, men from what? Every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. You may be seated if you can. But again, we're seeing here the classic passage dealing with the death of the two witnesses, okay? Now, again, if we're going to get to the prophetic significance of what's going on here with modern technology, you got to put this back into its historical setting 2,000 years ago, roughly, when the Apostle John is getting this revelation from God, writing it down for you and I, i.e. in the book of Revelation, okay? It must have seemed, put it back 2,000 years ago, it must have seemed like absolute, complete fantasy, right? And John's getting this vision from God to have the whole planet, not a crowd of people, right? Where was technology 2,000 years ago? But the whole planet is watching simultaneously, it says here, the death of two bodies, and they're rejoicing over their death. I mean, it's John's like, okay, I'm writing it down. Folks, think about what the days we live in. With satellite technology and television technology, communication technology that we saw last week, folks, there's no fantasy here. We live this life now in our generation. It wasn't here 50 years ago. It's here now. We can watch simultaneously any global event anywhere on the planet thanks to communication technology we saw last week, satellite technology. We can beam anything, any event at any time, anywhere in the world. I don't even have time to get in. It's not just the television. Now it's with mobile devices. Maybe you're not around TV. You can get alert. Hey, the death of the two witnesses. Woohoo! Come party with us. Get it on your phone. Get it on your television. It's happening in our days. For the first time in 2,000 years, folks, we have the technology now to fulfill the death of the two witnesses, that the whole planet is going to gaze on their bodies. Okay, but that's just one aspect. Actually, it's the second aspect that I want to hone in on our study. The text says one more thing, though. They didn't just watch their bodies for 3.5 days on a global scale. Watch what they were doing in that 3.5 day time period. Okay, they weren't watching. They were celebrating and doing something. Let's take a look at verse 10 now. The inhabitants of the earth will what? Gloat over them and will celebrate how? By sending, distributing each other gifts. Why? Because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. Now that's a whole other aspect. What they say, tormented? These are preachers of righteousness. They're upholding God's word, right? They're just preaching, name one command that's bad for us. None, right? And so here's guys preaching God's truth, and the world is so wicked at that time frame that they actually consider it torment having to listen to these guys. And isn't that sounding like today's society against Christianity? That's another aspect. What do I want to focus on is what's amazing is when you take a look at this again from the Apostle John's perspective 2,000 years ago. Again, he must have been blown mind. How could people not only watch the death of these two guys from around the world simultaneously and watch that event for 3.5 days, but it says there in verse 10, how in the world are they going to be able to celebrate and send each other gifts within that 3.5 day time period? We're talking a global scale. And again, you got to put it back in its historical perspective, folks. It wasn't that long ago. All we had for delivery was the Pony Express, right? How are you going to get something across our planet, a celebratory gift, within a 3.5 day time period? Again, guess what's happening right now? We don't even sneeze at that either. So both aspects of this with modern technology is coming to life for the first time in mankind. Think about it, folks. Thanks to the rise of modern technology, listen, for the first time in man's history, we cannot just send stuff anywhere around the planet, but we can do it well within the 3.5 day time frame. We have a global transportation system that's hooked up to a global communication system, that's hooked up to a global supply chain system, that's overseen by a global trade and commerce system, so that right now, all these things we take for granted. And it must have blown the Apostle John away 2,000 years ago. We can go down to our local store and get fresh crab meat that was shipped to us directly from Thailand. We can get a thoroughbred horse shipped to us from New Zealand. We can get fresh flowers sent all the way from South America. We can have a genuine New York City pizza delivered to us anywhere in the world. We can send a package from Japan, have it arrive the next afternoon in Washington, D.C., all in our lifetime, well within the 3.5 day period. There's not one aspect, folks, of this passage, the death of the two witnesses, that we need to wait for in order for it to be filled. It can be fulfilled now. Now, this is the event that takes place in the 7-year tribulation. We leave prior. Don't know the day, don't know the hour. But man, folks, I'm telling you once again, it's getting close, okay? Now, I want to break that distribution aspect down, because when you put this in a historical perspective, you not only see that the technology is here, what you're going to see is much of the technology to pull this off has arrived literally within just the last few years, right? It's happening that fast, okay? And tells you how important the days we're in. But the first way we're seeing an increase of the distribution of technology being able to fulfill the death of the two witnesses passage here in Revelation 11 is they are connecting all delivery routes. Connecting all delivery routes. And I'm talking on the whole planet. Okay, now what I'm talking about delivery routes is, of course, the roads on which apparently these celebratory gifts that people are going to be sending each other on the planet are going to take place. And believe it or not, folks, they are working using technology today to connect our whole planet. We've already seen it's being done, of course, with ships. We've already seen this being done with air travel technology. But I'm telling you, folks, they are working on connecting our whole planet with roads. This is crazy, but it's happening. Now, let me back up, because throughout history, there's been several attempts of mankind to connect large portions of the planet in order to send stuff, you know, like a celebratory gift or whatever, but trades and goods. And that's what they called them back in the day. They were called trade routes. Okay, and let me just give you a little bit of historical perspective, right? Trade routes are basically different phases of our history that mankind would deliver stuff, packages, cargo, commercial items. And as you can see, it connected huge sections of the whole planet. Never the whole planet, but they connected huge sections. And they would deliver salt and spice, okay, other things of that nature. It also exposed the planet to different cultures and religion and knowledge, which helped increase in the last days. Unfortunately, and I quote, sometimes it unfortunately sent bacteria, right? And it spread the disease. And of course, it gave birth to these things, as you all know. Look at that thing. Isn't that sick? That's evil. See what bacteria can do to you, right? And folks, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. How many times have we got to deal with this fact? Okay, because here's the truth. What kind of eggs do evil chickens lay? Deviled eggs. Do you think it's by chance, folks? And you guys keep eating them. I tell you what. But I digress. Let's get back on track. Okay, but anyway, the most famous one, trade route, if you're hooked on history, it was called the Silk Road, right? This was the Chinese Empire attempt to connect a huge section of our planet, okay? Basically, as you can see there, the Chinese Empire was linked with the Roman Empire. They traded back all kinds of stuff, tea, salt, porcelain, spices, silk, you know, hence the Silk Road and things of that nature. In fact, you've heard of the Black Plague, the Black Death. Many people think that it came to Europe because of this road and things of that nature, okay? It was also on this route we saw before, Marco Polo. Remember the guy that invented the swimming pool game? No, it was much more than that, as we saw, right? He traveled on this route, okay? And believe it or not, that was a big impetus for them to create this device called the Great Wall of China, okay? The Great Wall of China. It was to help protect this silk trade route because big business was going through here, right? Traveling, stuff of that. Then you had another one, another famous one was called the Spice Route. That linked, as you can see there, the east from the west. They connected it with ships, with maritime industry. It was a huge thing. They would deliver from the east to the west. Listen, things that we take totally for granted, like pepper and salt and cloves and cinnamon and nutmeg and things of that nature. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to England. No offense. But sometimes the food's a little bit bland. Okay, whatever. That's okay. A crumpet and a spot of tea. Yeah, it was very good, right? But this was huge. Can you imagine your food, eating your food, whatever you did, but you never had something as simple as salt and pepper? Yeah, so that's why when this thing came along, Europe was going, bring it on, baby. You know, I got to have some more of this stuff, right? And it was, again, that's what it's called, the spice round, okay? In fact, some of them think because they were so like, bring it on, man, these spices are incredible, the things we take for granted, that this is why the maritime industry, the ships kept getting faster and faster and faster because they were trying to beat out the other guy to get the salt and spices and nutmeg and pepper to England, who was in desperate need of them. So that kind of improved the shipping technology. But that was that one. Also, it was this route as to why Christopher Columbus did partly why he was doing what he was doing. He was looking for a better route for these spices to get them back faster to beat the competitors, amongst other issues. Then you had what was called the Amber Road. This was a famous trade route that connected the Baltic area with the rest of Europe, as you can see there. And of course, the Romans, you've heard of the famous Roman roads, some of them so well built, they're still in great shape even today. We need that technology. But anyway, they had the famous one called the Via Maris, Latin for the way of the sea. That was an ancient highway that was used by the Romans. Later, it was even used, still in existence, by the Crusaders. Okay, and they not only used this, the Romans and the Crusaders, as a road highway, but this is where they used to collect tolls. Right? So if you're ever wondering why we still have to deal with collecting tolls and paying tolls and toll booths and toll fees, blame it on the Romans. Okay, that's where it came from. Okay, that's what they did. Then, of course, they had one called the Trans-Saharan Trade Route, and this connected even in through the Sahara, hence the name, the trade route there, the desert areas, and they would trade gold and salt and cloth and slaves, unfortunately. But speaking of slaves, listen to this. It was this trade route, quote, it was instrumental in the spread of Islam, right? This was the road that they did that, and eventually, which led to the Crusades, which was trying to beat back the onslaught of Islam in Europe. Is there an invasion of Islam in Europe today? Yeah, it's being repeated. But by the way, the Crusades, I've said this so many times before in other studies, I'll say it again. Christian, you do not need to defend the horrible, egregious behavior that happened in the Crusades. The Crusades were done by the Roman Catholic Church and the popes at that time. It had nothing to do with Jesus. It was about land expansion. And of course, yeah, to beat back the Muslim invasion. But what they were doing, because they killed not just Jewish people, they killed Christians in the Crusades. This is not Christians. It's not Christianity. It's not something that true Christianity would do. So you don't need to, oh, how about the Crusades, you Christians? You don't need to defend that because that was a Catholic issue and that's not biblical Christianity. But anyway, there's more to trade routes, but I want to give you an idea of what's going on. But I say all that to get to this. As you can see, there's many different examples through history where they did cover big swaths, big areas of the planet with trade. But they never could connect the whole planet. Until now. Guys, this blew me away. I actually stumbled across this. I didn't even know this was going on with modern technology. But it was last year when I was invited to speak down in Australia. The longest plane ride of my life. But I survived. Anyway, so on that plane ride, to choke down the oodles of hours on that plane, they have that little TV thing and praise God, they at least give it to you for free, okay? And you could watch all kinds of stuff. Well, I'm watching a documentary on there. I'm just flipping through, and I see this documentary, and it was called Future China 2049, China on the Move, okay? If you can ever come across that. And but I'm sitting there watching it, and all of a sudden on this documentary, I'm sitting on a plane flying to Australia, and it exposed in great detail, listen, how China is connecting our whole planet with modern technology, with roads, high-speed networks, all that, because they are wanting to become and preparing to become the next global superpower that is going to control all trades on the whole planet. Now, their first big step, as while our country is arguing over our own infrastructure, these guys have already recreated the Silk Road thing we just saw with modern technology. Watch this. This is crazy.
There's a new highway in Pakistan. And a new rail terminal in Kazakhstan. A seaport in Sri Lanka recently opened, as well as this bridge in rural Laos. What's interesting is that they're all part of one country's project that spans three continents and touches over 60% of the world's population. If you connect the dots, it's not hard to see which country that is. This is China's Belt and Road Initiative, the most ambitious infrastructure project in modern history that's designed to reroute global trade. And it's how China plans to become the world's next superpower.
Kazakhstan.
It's 2013, and Chinese President Xi Jinping is giving a speech in Kazakhstan, where he mentions the ancient Silk Road, a network of trade routes that spread goods, ideas, and culture across Europe, the Middle East, and China as far back as 200 BC. He then says,
we should take an innovative approach and jointly build an economic belt along the Silk Road.
A month later, Xi is in Indonesia.
Then two sides should work together to build up a new maritime road in the 21st century.
These two phrases were the first mentions of Xi's legacy project, the multi-trillion dollar Belt and Road Initiative, or BRI. They're also the two components of the plan. There's an overland economic belt of six corridors that serve as new routes to get goods in and out of China, like this railroad connecting China to London, and these gas pipelines from the Caspian Sea to China, and a high-speed train network in Southeast Asia. Then there's the Maritime Silk Road, a chain of seaports stretching from the South China Sea to Africa that also directs trade to and from China. The BRI also includes oil refineries, industrial parks, power plants, mines, and fiber optic networks, all designed to make it easier for the world to trade with China. So far, over 60 countries have reportedly signed agreements for these projects. And the list is growing because China promotes it as a win-win for everyone. By building relationships and taking control of global trade, China's well on its way.
Well on its way to what? Not just recreating the Silk Road, but it's even going beyond that. But folks, that's the half of our planet that they are not just connecting, but they're connecting with what? Not just dusty old trails, gravel roads. This is high-speed rail technology, all kinds of stuff, and they're recreating that. Now, a lot of people are beginning to wonder, well, wait a second. This might start to spill over into not just being able to deliver goods around the planet. Again, remember, we're dealing with a 3.5-day time frame. Okay? But maybe this is starting to open up another passage in the Bible in the book of Revelation, dealing with the battle of Armageddon at the end of the seven-year tribulation. Watch what it says here. Revelation 16, 12, and 14. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. Again, we're towards the end of the seven-year tribulation. And its water was dried up to prepare the way for the what? The kings from the what? The north? No. The south? No. The west? No. The kings from the what? The east. Who's that? That's people like China, right? To prepare the way for the kings from the east to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. In other words, to gather them for the battle of Armageddon at the end of the seven-year tribulation. So here we see that God draws the kings of the east, again, entities, power people like China, to come way over to the west. I was there in November at Megiddo at the site, and you saw this, where the blast battle in the seven-year tribulation is going to take place, and it's a bloodbath that's going to happen because God doesn't lose, amen? Okay, but he's going to gather the kings from the east to this way over here, all the way to the west over there in Israel. And so guess what we may very well have just seen with that video? For the first time in mankind's history, the actual infrastructure to not just get them there, but to get them there lickety-split. Isn't this wild? But that's just step one, okay? China, I kid you not, folks, this is what really blew me away. China is actually working on connecting our whole planet with roads and controlling all trade. Watch this one.
Having recently completed both the world's most extensive system of expressways and the planet's longest high-speed rail network, China is now looking beyond its borders for opportunities to keep building.
China is considering building a high-speed rail line to the U.S. Mind blown. This rail line would start in northeast China, run through Siberia, cross a 125-mile underwater tunnel under the Bering Strait, then travel through Alaska and Canada before reaching the continental U.S. The good news is the high-speed rail line from China to the U.S. is only one of four high-speed rail projects currently in the works. China also wants to build a train that runs from London to China and Germany to Urumqi.
Under the Bering Strait, to feed a global appetite for goods and energy, the longest underwater tunnel in the world. But no matter what it would take, the benefits of a permanent link between the continents could make it all worthwhile.
Let's look at the building site first, because this is way, way up there, right on the edge of the Arctic Circle. The Bering Strait is what separates North America from Asia. And as Sarah Palin might note, you really can see Russia from here if you get high enough. At the narrowest point, it's about 53 miles wide. How deep is this water? Not that bad, about 98 to 164 feet deep, depending on where you've paddled your kayak. So who would have to be involved in this project? Well, politically and economically, you would probably need Russia and China and Canada and the United States here in the form of Alaska. The tunnel is what they would pattern this after in all likelihood. So let's look at the construction of this thing, because that was built under the English Channel to connect the UK to France. Even at the narrowest point, what we're talking about could be twice as long as the tunnel, but the water is shallower here, so essentially what they'd have to do is start boring through, and this is what they would probably aim for, something like this, three tunnels, one with trains going one direction, one with trains going another area, a direction, and in the middle what they've typically built is a sort of access tunnel for emergencies and for service and all sorts of ways to get back and forth. It's a big, big, big project.
Russia plans superhighway that connects London to New York City. Driving from London to New York City would be possible if Russia succeeds in building a superhighway spanning across the country with links to Western Europe and Asia. During a March meeting, head of the Russian Railways, Vladimir Yakunin, unveiled an ambitious plan called the Trans-Eurasian Belt Development, which entails constructing a superhighway and an accompanying high-speed railway. If the plan is realized, motorists will be able to drive from London to New York. Russia hopes the development will spur the economies of remote cities and towns.
Suddenly, if you talk about continuing that rail into what Mr. and Mrs. LaRouche have been calling for as the Eurasian land bridge, you're talking about connecting rail all the way from South Africa up through the continent of Africa, up through Central Asia, through Asia, Russia, across the Bering Strait, down through North America, down through South America, once we've solve the problem of the Darien, crossing the Darien Gap, all the way down to the southern tip of Argentina.
And we can't even seem to fix a pothole or get any legislation to go here to improve our own system. Do you see what the communist countries are doing around us? And there's oodles of countries going along with it. But folks, for the first time in mankind's history, we're watching our planet is being reconnected into one gigantic trade route. Just in time to send a celebratory gift to anybody anywhere on the planet within a 3.5 day time period. Isn't that wild? To go from China, not on an airplane, to go from China to LA, to New York, to... It's all happening as we sit here. That's just the first aspect. The second way that distribution technology is fulfilling the Revelation 11 death of two witnesses, they are not just connecting all delivery routes, they are computerizing all delivery routes. Okay? And this drastically improves the speed of delivery well within 3.5 days. Again, this is all happening. Now, again, to see how it's growing exponentially in our lifetime, let's go back to the Pony Express. Did you guys like my little demonstration earlier? Whatever that, yeah, it's a laughing horse apparently. But anyway, whatever. Let's take a look. It wasn't that long ago, folks. This was your only delivery option, but it was big technology back then. The Pony Express. Watch this.
In January 1830, the quickest way to send a letter from St. Louis, Missouri to Sacramento, California was by stagecoach. It took 25 days. Then three men by the names of William Russell, Alexander Majors, and William Waddell came up with the idea to send mail by horseback nonstop from St. Louis to Sacramento. They called this new business the Pony Express. The Pony Express hired riders who were young, strong, brave horsemen. These riders would stop every 10 to 15 miles to get a fresh horse and every 50 to 75 miles to change riders. The Pony Express riders carried with them a mail bag called a mochila, which had four pouches filled with mail. The first Pony Express mail bag with its horse and rider left St. Louis on April 3, 1860, traveled 2,000 miles, and arrived in Sacramento 11 days later.
11 days later? What? We whine if we don't get our packets from Amazon in 2 days. You said it was Prime. Right? Right? But we take this for granted, folks, what's going on. I want to give you some historical perspective. Things are escalating exponentially on delivery options and speed, dare I say, in our lifetime, okay? Now, obviously from the Pony Express, it went to something here in the U.S. called the U.S. Postal Service, right? And you remember that was basically it. If you wanted to mail something, you go down to the post office, right? Then finally they got some competitors, right? And that's where you had the birth of some companies like UPS and FedEx. And basically, my theory is that's helped kick the USPS into gear. Stop means you better, because they're going to outdo you, okay? And that's certainly what they did. Then, of course, it's not just the U.S. You begin to see delivery services literally around the world all popping up in our lifetime, right? To get stuff here and there. Of course, you got DTC, which is India's largest one. You got Japan Post, one of the largest postal services in the world. Okay. You got Post NL that delivers Netherlands, Germany, Italy, and the UK. You got, Schenker NG, that's Germany. Royal Mail, of course, that's coming from, guess who? England, is their big one. There's Blue Dart that works together with DHL, which is German for Deutsche Post. It's the most popular. It's 220 different countries they deliver to. And then, of course, China is not outdone. They've had TNT or EMS International, okay? But again, so now we're seeing in our lifetime the ability to deliver something anywhere around the world in a rapid amount of time. But what we're seeing, folks, is because of this, it opened up not just delivery around the world. Now we're able to make it for the first time in our history within that 3.5 day time period. Remember, that's the catalyst there, okay? And this gave birth to something that we frankly take for granted today. You want to send something? Don't just say, oh, send it and hopefully it gets there. It's send it what? You got options now. You want third day air, second day air? You want next day air? This is what this all gave birth to. And again, remember, watch the context. These people are going to be so stinking excited. These guys are dead. Yeah! They're going to throw a party, and they're going to send gifts to each other around the world within 3.5 days. That system's already in place. Not to mention the global trade route with China and all that stuff, right? But, hey, now they're not going to need horses anymore. Because remember, it used to be horses or runners. Sometimes if you wanted to get a message, it was send a pigeon. Anyway, But and believe it or not, it stayed that way for a long time. We're seeing all this happen in our lifetime. But now they don't need people to deliver stuff. Now where it's going literally in our lifetime is robots are delivering the stuff, right? I'm going to give you two quick examples. One's from Amazon, shocker, okay, called Scout. Another one's called Starship Technology. So when you order something, it might be delivered to you very soon like this. Watch this. The cake arrived that I ordered to celebrate the death of the two witnesses. Lickety split. Now, if you think I'm joking about that, what's wild is the method, not just the speed, is speeding up as well. And I really think that the context that you're dealing with in the scripture is, yeah, they're sending gifts, but the whole idea that's going on there in the Greek and the context, the whole planet is throwing a party. You're having a 3.5-day global party. Now, what comes with the party? Yeah, gifts, but what do you do at a party? That's the code word for food, for those of you wondering. Okay, okay, food. And we're going to see that food delivers going crazy too at the same time. But again, to back this up, folks, when you to order something, I mean, we didn't have options. Like today, it's all computerized, and I'll get to that in a second. But remember back in the day, the only option if you wanted something, something cool, something unique, is you had this thing. Remember Sears and Roebuck? Don't raise your hand because you'll really show your age, okay? And your self-esteem might go down. But anyway, so, which is not a bad thing. But anyway, remember that? And they say that they're the cheapest supply house on the earth. That was it. You ordered it from a catalog. Remember ordering stuff from the catalog? Remember ordering stuff? Man, look at this. This is a box full of army men from the comic books. Remember that? Man, I got snookered on that thing. Came back and there's a paper box and this stupid army guys wasted my $5. But anyway, but remember that? That was all you had. You had to order through the mail. Right, that was your big option that you had if you didn't want to go to the store. Or, remember this, guys? Remember that? How many guys fell for this thing? Remember that tape of the month club thing, right? And you find, oh, yeah, I'll get this. It's free. It says it's free. I only got to buy one. The rest are free. Yeah, you're on this mailing list for 5 billion years, and then it ends up costing you $100,000 for 8 tapes or whatever. Yeah, but that was your kids. You don't know how good you got it. Now you just download the thing or whatever. But anyway, speaking of download, this is where it's gone nuts, the option to order anything you want. Listen, anywhere in the world, to be shipped anywhere in the world. That's just happened the last few years. And that's what's going on in our context. And again, not just things, but even food. Because if you're going to throw a party, you got to have food. Okay? Now, for food, when it comes to delivery, for the longest time, about your only option was pizza. They still do it today, but pizza, you can have pizza delivered. That's about it. But folks, have you noticed what's going on in the food delivery service? It's going nuts. Now they're saying, I don't care what restaurant, any kind of food you want, you can order it. In fact, you can order it just with the touch of your phone with an app. Here's just one commercial called Grubhub. Watch what you can do with this thing. Watch this.
I want it all.
Hey, yeah.
sesame chicken,
falafel,
pow chicken,
nacho,
fried chicken,
yes,
bibimbap,
yes,
niçoise salad.
With the Grubhub delivery app, if you want it all, you can get it all. Grubhub, restaurants you love, delivered.
You know something sinister is going on there when that's all he orders. I heard that chicken, right? That's not, you know that ain't good, right? But again, this is happening right now. This is stuff that's happening right now in our lifetime. I mean, just the last year or so. And it isn't just Grubhub. Now you can any restaurant, pick one with an app on your phone. Never before in the history of mankind. Uber Eats, Eat24, Caviar, DoorDash, Postmates. Of course, you saw Grubhub, okay? And then, of course, not just food from a restaurant. Now you can get any kind of food you want. Super quick. And guess who that's from? Amazon. Amazon's now delivering food called Amazon Prime Now. Watch this.
We deliver is the boast of online companies that bring food, even entire meals, to your home. So could this make your local grocer a thing of the past? Our cover story is reported by Anna Werner.
Why go to the supermarket when it can come to you?
Hi. Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
So I have four packages for you, for Kristen.
Thank you, yes.
Right.
Seattle mom Christine Holm gets groceries from Amazon.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
On this day, from the company's new super-fast Prime Now service.
My husband and I both will stay up late to watch TV after the baby's in bed, and we think what ice cream we can order, you know.
Her items come to her in just 1 hour.
Pretty good deals, right? I mean, now I got all kinds of options. You know, hey, let's throw a party. These two guys have been tormenting us, man. Woo! I'm not only going to send some gifts wherever I want. Let's have some food. Let's celebrate, right? And not just, I got to rely on some restaurant. What if I wanted to cook the meal myself? Hey, you can have it there, what? For free in 2 hours. Pay a little extra. You get it in an hour. Sometimes even less. Now, speaking of Amazon, this is where we're going to close out. I think Amazon, this might sound kind of weird, Amazon is a key player of technology that's risen up in our lifetime in the last days that's going to help pull off a lot of events in the seven-year tribulation. Amazon right now, of course, we know is the industry, global leader in distribution of anything, to the tune that it has now produced the richest man on the planet, Jeff Bezos. He is worth $131 billion. But of course, he just got divorced, so that went down. He has now produced, I heard this on the news, he's now produced the richest woman on the planet. Right? Okay. But I'm telling you, they are on the forefront when it comes to this technology, especially when it comes to distribution, including speed. Okay. Because remember, what's the context? Anywhere around the world within 3.5 days, Amazon's blowing it out of the water. And they are the leader. I'm going to demonstrate that a couple different ways. First of all, the speed of ordering. right? The speed of ordering, okay? As you saw in the earlier video, right? You can just do it lickety-split, anywhere you want. Just go to Amazon.com, hop on your laptop. But hey, who needs a laptop anymore? You can download their app, and then you can do it on the fly. Anywhere the thought comes in your head, hey, I want a cake, I want this, I want that. You can do it on your cell phone or your tablet. In fact, now they're pushing this new device. You don't even need a tablet. You don't even know how to use a computer. If the thought comes to your mind, you realize, oh no, I need stuff. You literally just push a button. Watch this.
Don't let running out ruin your rhythm. Introducing the Amazon Dash button for Prime members, a simple way to reorder the important things you always run low on so you'll never run out. Set it up to order what you want, then press it when you're running low. Get an order alert on your phone so it's easy to cancel if you change your mind. And with Prime shipping, you'll get new products delivered to your door before you run out and never miss a beat. Prime members, request your free Amazon Dash button today.
Wow. Turn to somebody and say, lazy. Right? But think about it. You know, those never use computers and people want... Anybody can do that. You can even do it with your elbow if you wanted to. Your big toe. Right? Just push a button. This is huge. You can order whatever. Now, that's just the speed of ordering. How fast, much faster than you get in that? Amazon, the same company, is also increasing the speed of delivery. Okay, remember, we're still trying to beat a 3.5-day window around. Amazon's been blowing that out of the water for a long time. Right? We're very familiar. If you become Prime, pay a little extra, sign off on this form. You can get not just 2-day delivery, but free 2-day delivery, right? But then we just saw with your food service, you can get free 2-hour delivery. Pay a little bit more. You can get 1-hour delivery or even less. But now, thanks to their drone system that they're building as we sit here, they now have Amazon Prime Air. You can have your stuff delivered to you, not just food, your stuff delivered to you in 30 minutes or less. Watch this.
This is a story from the not too distant future. It's the day of your daughter Millie's big football match, and to be clear, that is the sort of football you play with your feet. Anyway, she is missing a vital piece of equipment, specifically a size 3 Puma Evo Power firm ground soccer shoe, the left one. And some of it, sadly, is in the family's 3-year-old bulldog, Stuart. So now what? Well, you could yell angrily at the poor thing, but what's the point? Because all it will hear is blah, 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 Stuart, blah, blah, Stuart, blah. Much better to behave like a rational human being. Find your tablet and place an order with Amazon for a pair of Puma Evo Power Firm Ground soccer shoes and have them delivered in 30 minutes or less. And in a location not too far away, a miracle of modern technology is dispatched. It's an Amazon drone, and after rising vertically like a helicopter to nearly 400 feet, this amazing hybrid design assumes a horizontal orientation and becomes a streamlined and fast airplane. In time, there'll be a whole family of Amazon drones, different designs for different environments. This one can fly for 15 miles, and it knows what's happening around it. It uses sense and avoid technology to, well, sense and then avoid obstacles on the ground and in the air. Back at the house, you're getting a message on your tablet to say that your Prime Air delivery is arriving. And it goes back to vertical mode and scans the landing area for potential hazards. This amazing innovation then lowers itself slowly to the ground, drops off the package, and flies straight back up to altitude. And moments later, you're walking through the door with a brand new pair of Puma Evo Power Firm Ground soccer shoes, size 3 for Millie, and a Nyla Bone chicken-flavored Dura Chew for naughty, naughty Stuart.
I heard it too, chicken-flavored. You know that's wrong. That can't be a good direction, but whoa. So now, listen, for the first time in man's history, we can't just get stuff anywhere we want, anytime we want, with such great speed and ease. Now you're talking less than 30 minutes. Folks, that's never been, what's the context again? They will celebrate, have a global party, send gifts to each other anywhere around the planet within 3.5 days. Folks, we're getting it down to 30 minutes or less. Don't tell me this is by chance. Let me give you one more. The third way that Amazon is speeding it up is the speed of transaction, right? Now, this apparently is for those of you who like, you know what? I still want to go to the store, right? I'm just going to go down my store, and I'm going to get that stuff for that party to celebrate and all my goodies that I need, and I'm not going to push that button. I'm not going to do Prime Air. I'm going to go to the store. Well, they're speeding up the transaction, okay, to where now you don't have to wait in line anymore. There's no cashier. There's no checker. You don't have to wait at all. You just literally grab your stuff and go. In fact, that's what it's called, Amazon Go. It's not coming. It's already being launched here in the U.S. Watch this.
4 years ago, we started to wonder, what would shopping look like if you could walk into a store, grab what you want, and just go? What if we could weave the most advanced machine learning, computer vision, and AI into the very fabric of a store so you never have to wait in line? No lines, no checkouts, no registers. Welcome to Amazon Go. Use the Amazon Go app to enter. Then put away your phone and start shopping. It's really that simple. Take whatever you like. Anything you pick up is automatically added to your virtual cart. If you change your mind about that cupcake, just put it back. Our technology will update your virtual cart automatically. So, how does it work? We used computer vision, deep learning algorithms, and sensor fusion, much like you'd find in self-driving cars. We call it Just Walk Out technology. Once you've got everything you want, you can just go. When you leave, our Just Walk Out technology adds up your virtual cart and charges your Amazon account. Your receipt is sent straight to the app, and you can keep going. Amazon Go. No lines, no checkout. No, seriously.
Yeah, seriously is right. I mean, you keep doing this. I mean, what's next, Mr. Bezos? You're going to offer a Amazon Prime chip for select customers who will agree to do something so then they can buy and sell with their hand? You know exactly where I'm going, folks. Don't tell me this is by chance. It's not. The same event, right? The Antichrist, okay, is going to set up this system. Revelation 13, 16 through 17. He also forced everyone. How many? Everyone. Small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. You see, there's only one problem with all this convenience that Amazon is pushing for you and I when it comes to buying and selling stuff. I mean, yeah, this is cool. Now I don't have a checkout line and I could just use my cell phone and put it away and it's all purchased automatically. But what's the problem? You could lose your cell phone. You could drop your cell phone and break it. Somebody could steal it and all that kind of stuff. Then what are you going to do? How are you going to buy and sell? Well, hey, what if you got some sort of device in your body, specifically what most people use anyway, the right hand or the forehead, that can make your transaction for you and then you never lose it. It's always with you wherever you go. And next thing you know, you can buy and sell to your heart's content. It's a step-by-step process. Now, lest you think that's not going to happen, folks, it's already happening even here in the United States of America. In fact, they're now starting to do it in companies where you better get a chip if you want to buy and sell. And then that's not just weird enough. People in our life, in our generation, are lining up to get the chip. Already. Here's just one example. In the U.S., watch this.
A lot of us, the first thing we have to do when we get to work is swipe in with our key card. Then you sit down to start working, and you need a password to log in here, too. And here at our station, if you want a snack, want to come upstairs to the break room, you got to grab your snack, bring it over here. You got to use a card to be able to purchase it. But what if there was a way that you wouldn't have to do any of that, where you could be microchipped and that would basically work for the entire building? Well, dozens of people are doing it voluntarily. Next week, Three Square Market in Wisconsin will be the first company in the U.S. to give microchips to its workers. They are one of those businesses that put many food markets, similar to ours, into business places. They expect more than 50 employees to opt into the microchip. This is what it looks like, about the size of a grain of rice. It gets implanted under the skin between the thumb and the forefinger, and it just takes seconds to do it. The chip implant uses the same technology as mobile payments like Apple Pay. The chip allows them to buy stuff in the break room, log into their computer, and get into the building. The Wisconsin company got the idea from a company in Sweden that started voluntarily putting chips in its workers recently.
There's a Wisconsin company that, see that little microchip that you would put in maybe your dog? If your dog is missing, you can find him. They're putting this in their employees, and they have 50 employees that have said, yeah, we'll do it.
Where do
they put it in right here, Janice. Can we show this on
between
camera?
Your thumb and
this
forefinger.
Looks very painful. Between your thumb and your forefinger, right there.
And they say, so if you buy a snack in the company workroom,
you can
they'll
just
track
swipe
it.
Swipe your
but
hand.
Oddly, they also say it keeps your medical records in there. So who has
well, that's
access?
A possibility.
Can your company track you?
That's
your every move?
If you
no, they say
sick.
They're not going to do that.
Yeah.
They
so,
say they're not going to do that.
So if you're on the beach, they've got that microchip.
But it would open doors, allow you to use a copy machine, and even log onto your computer. Think about that. Rather than logging on thing, you just put your hand right there.
And with both of those talking heads, it just so happened, which hand were they using to demonstrate? The right hand. It's called soft disclosure. Little by little, you piecemeal it out where our society is headed. Now, we don't need the news, including Fox News, to do that for us because God wrote it down nearly 2,000 years ago. This is what's coming. Folks, we're seeing it happen in our lifetime. Okay? And as we close, that's again why Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, what do? Freak out, run to the hills? No. Rapture's got to be happening any day now. Folks, it's imminent. Stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption drawing near, okay? And as the church, we need to finish here longing for his appearing, because that's best case scenario, and get busy sharing the gospel to as many as we can, amen? Because this is coming to the planet, nobody's going to change it, but you can't escape it, only one way to escape it through Jesus Christ. And if that's you here today, I implore you, I beg you, please, heed these signs. Why do you think God's got you here? Give your life to Jesus Christ right now. Call upon his name. Ask him to forgive you all of your sins. Be rescued from this terrible time that is coming to this planet. You don't want to be left behind. Because when this infrastructure gets into place, it's not going to lead to a life of ease and a party atmosphere on the planet. It's going to lead to hell on earth. And you need to escape it right now through Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray.
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.